Well, let's pray before we look at this passage. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us as we look at your word. We rejoice that your word, written in a different place, by different people, in a different time, so long ago, so far away from us in culture, yet still speaks powerfully to us today. And that is because it is your word. You are the God who speaks through your word. And we pray that you would do that today. You would speak to us afresh in your word, that we might live for you well in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, sometimes it's really easy, isn't it, to speak in sort of vagaries, to sort of speak in the abstract, to speak in ways that are not particularly concrete. And lots of people, when they hear church ministers or pastors talk, that's probably the exact thing they think. They think of people who speak in vague terminology, in unclear language, that is not very practical. And maybe you, or maybe people you know, think, oh, well, what has that got to do with me? That is of no practical use to me, what that pastor has been droning on about for half an hour or longer, maybe. No practical use at all. And it's a fair point. Pastors or vicars or ministers or whoever, or whatever we call them, often need to work hard at being useful and being practical. But wonderfully, as we are in the Ten Commandments, and particularly as we move on in the Ten Commandments this week, we discover that it's very hard not to be practical when we look at these verses. It's very hard not to be practical. It would take a great deal of skill and wisdom, or not wisdom, one might say, to try to make what is plain here unplain and abstract and vague. These are verses that hit close to home for all of us. They are very practical. And of course, I should say, in case nearly everybody over the age of 18 is thinking, I'm zoning out for the next half an hour, this is not just for children. This is not just for children. This is for all of us. Well, so far we've been in a series in the Ten Commandments, and we've seen that the Ten Commandments are God's moral law, the summary of how he wants his people to live. And even though they were given to a people in a far-off land a long time ago, they are still applicable today for God's church, for God's people. They are how God calls his redeemed people to live today. And we could summarize the whole Ten Commandments in five words. 10 into 5, that's pretty good going, isn't it? Love God and love neighbor. Love God and love neighbor. And so far, we've looked at the first four commandments. We've looked at not having any other gods before the Lord, worshipping him rightly, not taking his name in vain, and keeping his day holy. And those all, I suppose, fit practically under the heading of love God. Love God. But the rest of our commandments, 5 through 6, can I suppose much more helpful, are probably fit under the heading, love neighbor. So the first four commandments, roughly speaking, fall into the category of love God. And the next 6 fall roughly under the category of love neighbor. That's not to say that there's not some cross-pollination between those categories. But that is to say, broadly speaking, if that's helpful as a memory tool for you, that these fall into how we are to love our neighbor, those round about us. And as we come to the fifth commandment, it's an obviously inclusive commandment. Some of us might think, as we're working through the Ten Commandments, that they're not things we need to worry about. So you might get to verse 13 and think, well, I've not killed anybody. I don't plan on killing anybody. So I'm not going to worry about that commandment. It's not something for me to worry about. And we might think similar things about others. But with honoring father and mother, we suddenly realize that this is a universal thing, because we all have mothers and fathers, or we had mothers and fathers. This applies to all of us. So as we look at this, we're going to look at it under two headings. Firstly then, honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. You might be wondering, as you hear those words read out, honor your father and your mother, what does it mean to honor? What does it mean to honor? Maybe some of us have something of a disconnect. It's the sort of type of word, the word honor, that's sort of out of fashion in our world today. It sort of comes with like the word duty, honor. They're the sort of words that are, they're jarring in our cultural moment. We don't tend to think in those categories. But the word honor in Hebrew, if we, this part of the Bible was written in Hebrew, relates very closely to the word for glory. Doesn't sound the same in English, but it sounds very similar in the language that the Bible was written in. And it has this sense of weight. The sense of weight. So verse 12 could mean make heavy. Probably we wouldn't want to say that about our parents necessarily. Make heavy. But that's the idea. In the context, of course, doesn't mean to say that, means to give them honor. And it's the whole idea that we sometimes know from that idea of God's glory, that it is God's weightiness. His weightiness. And it's a similar, if somewhat lesser idea here, that when we're honoring our father and mother, we're giving them due weight. We're recognizing worth as we honor them. And this is how God wants us to relate to our parents. We're to honor our father and mother. Now, there's a bit of a surprise there, because you might be thinking, well, back then, it's a highly male society, patriarchal. We hear a lot of the words patriarchy these days, don't we? But it's a surprise, isn't it, that mothers are mentioned too. It's not just the men we honor, but we honor women too. We honor fathers and we honor mothers. There is an egality here. There is an equalness. We value both. We honor both. We honor father and mother. As both give us life, both are to be honored equally. Unlike some of the other commandments, there is a reason attached. Listen to the reason. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land your God is giving you. So clearly then, the people are being told that there's a blessing that will come to them. If they embrace and obey this commandment, then their days will be long in the land that they're going to go into, the land in Canaan. In other words, if this people did this, then God would bless them, that they would receive his blessing. And this commandment is featured in a number of places in the New Testament, but let me just draw to your attention a few of those. In Matthew chapter 15, we read Jesus interacting with the Pharisees. Let me read to you Matthew 15, 1-6. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." So they're complaining at lack of cleanliness. They're not washing their hands. How very dare they? And Jesus answers, verse 3, he answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?" So they shouldn't just be worried about traditions. They should be worried about God's commandment that they're ignoring. Why? Jesus says, verse 4, "For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God." So Jesus is highlighting, isn't he, the abiding importance of honoring father and mother. He's saying to these Pharisees and scribes, shame on you. Shame on you for putting traditions in place that vitiate the command to honor your father and mother. Jesus is holding this command up very highly. This is something he thinks is important. Honor your father and your mother. This commandment is also referenced in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Paul is writing to the church in a place called Ephesus, and he says this: "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So Paul is showing, as Jesus did, the continued application for God's people of this commandment. And he draws out a very important application for children. And I hope the young ones here are listening just now. If you ever ask your mum and your dad, "Mum, Dad, how can I honor you? Mum, Dad, how can I honor you?" Well, Paul tells us, he says, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey them. Obey your parents. Children who honor their parents will obey them. But he also repeats the promise in verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And that's a hard one for us to think, because we sort of think, oh dear, are we saying that things will be better for us? That there's a sort of quid pro quo, that things will be better for us if we obey? Well, John Stott, helpfully, in his little commentary in Ephesians, says it's worth remembering that for us, there's no promised land now in this world. There is no geography that we go to that is ours on planet Earth. Our home is somewhere else. Our home is the renewed earth that is to come. But John Stott says then we have to understand this in general terms. In other words, if we do this, then we will see social stability in our communities. If we honor our father and mother, then we see social stability, which is a benefit for all. If we do that, there's a benefit for all of us. And of course, we know that, don't we? What's the opposite of honoring our father and mother? Dishonoring them. And if we dishonor our father and mother, if we treat them terribly, then what happens? Then we all do that. Society breaks down. Bonds of kin fail. And things go badly for us. So there's a benefit to all in society and in the church to see these relationships honored. And then finally, let me mention to you one more reference. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Paul, again writing, says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." So again, you're given a reason, children. Hope you're listening. If you obey your parents, it pleases the Lord. If you want to know, "Mum, Dad, how can I please God? Mum, Dad, how can I please God?" Well, you can please God by obeying your mum and dad. If you want to please the Lord, then obeying your parents is what he wants you to do. God wants children to honor their parents. He wants them to obey them. That all being said, let me just mention a few caveats, because you're probably jumping to your mind as well at the moment. A number of things you're thinking, well, what if, what about? So for example, as we grow old, what about that? Well, as we grow old, we move out of the sphere of our parental authority, don't we? We no longer live under their house, under their rules. So honoring changes, I think. It becomes not primarily about obedience. That's very a focus on children, isn't it? But now it moves, I think, when we move out of the home, when we move out from our parents' authority structures, honoring becomes more about love and fidelity. As the Heidelberg Catechism puts it, we love and want to be faithful to our parents. Now, of course, honoring parents, we need to be honest, is not going to be easy for all of us. I want to recognize this morning that some of us may have had really hard experiences. Maybe you had a drunk father. Maybe you had a mother who abandoned you as a child. Maybe your parents neglected or abused you. How do you honor your mother or father in that sort of context? How do we give them weight and honor? It's really hard. And I've got no easy answers for you today. But I think we should note that from the Old Testament and the New Testament, that this command still exists. It still exists for all. But of course, it will look different for each of us in our different contexts. If we've had a father or a mother who has treated us abysmally, beat us, abused us, neglected us, it will look really different to honor them than for others. Let me encourage you to pray that God would help you to honor your parents in that situation. And if that's something that's true for you, if you're wondering this morning, I don't know how I could honor my mother and father, I'd love to chat with you and pray with you about that, if that would help. Let me add one final caveat for children. Do listen to this, children. Children, you should honor, you should obey your parents. But let me tell you that if your parents tell you to do something that is wrong, then you don't have to do it. If your parents say to you to do something that is not what God wants you to do, if they are asking things of you that would hurt you or harm you, you do not have to do it. It is a very sad thing to say that some parents in our world abuse the authority they have over their children. Some parents treat their children terribly, and they make them do things that they should never have to do. Your parents shouldn't ask you to do anything that is wrong, and you don't have to obey them if they do. Let me just be really clear about that. This is not an opportunity for parents to abuse children. Children, you honor your parents, but you do so in the Lord, obeying God first. Well, those caveats aside, let me remind us that this is a very clear commandment. We are to honor our parents. We are to give them due weight. If we're still under their authority in the home, we are to obey them. Friends, let me ask you this question. Are you doing this? As you think about your parents, if you still have them. Children, are you obeying your parents? Do you do as you are told? Or do you have to get reminded 7, 8, 9, 10 times? God wants you to obey your parents. It pleases God when children obey their parents. For the rest of us who aren't children, who are outside of the family home, are you honoring your mother and father? Are you thinking, how could I honor my mother and father? Well, we've looked at honoring our mother and father, but then secondly, there is a wider application here to be thought of, and that is honoring all those who are in authority. Honoring all those who are in authority. As with many of these commandments, there is a narrow focus that we can see, but there is also a broader focus. And in the Reformed tradition and in the scriptures, we see that there's a broader application in how we relate to all those who have authority over us. So not only children and parents, but for all of us as we live in our varied forms of relationships. So for example, we see in Colossians 3 verse 18 that wives are to submit to their husbands as is fitting in the Lord, which is similar to Ephesians 5:22. There is an honouring relationship that goes on there. And of course, in Colossians 3:19, we note as well that husbands are to love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Now, these reciprocal honouring relationships of submission and love in the home between husband and wife. Then we see the relationship between employer and employee. See this in Ephesians chapter 6, between bondservants and masters. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. And masters are to treat them rightly. Again, there is a relationship there, isn't there, between honoring and dishonoring, between honoring and respecting and obeying those in authority over us. Also in The church is a calling for church members, Christian people, to submit to their leaders. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5, we're called to submit to godly leadership in the church. And finally, in Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2, we see a clear command to obey secular authorities. We are to obey those over us. Peter calls us, verse 17 of chapter 2, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Honor the emperor. So although we see a particular focus on honoring parents in the fifth command, there's a broader call to honor and obey, of course, insofar as it is not a breach of God's word, that clearly runs through the whole of the Bible. And it's set forth as our model. So let me ask you again, as I did regarding our parents, are you seeking to honor and obey those in authority over you? In the workplace, are you honoring your boss? Are you honoring the government? Are you honoring church leadership? Are you honoring one another in your various relationships that you have? Now, of course, this will look different in different circumstances, and I want to say that this is not an opportunity for blind obedience. We should only obey if it does not compromise God's word, particularly with our secular authorities. It's difficult sometimes with leaders we don't like or distrust. But we should note, shouldn't we, that when Peter was writing this letter, who were the civil authorities? Well, it was the Romans. And the Romans were not known for their human rights record. They were not known for their democratic principles outside a very, very small margin of society. They were people who we would, I suppose, call today tyrants, dictators, authoritarian. But Peter says, honor the emperor. Honor the emperor. That clearly needs to be a focus for us, doesn't it? As Christians, we need to be careful in honoring those who are in positions of authority over us. And if we don't, let me just remind you that it does not please God if we act that way. It does not please God if we seek to dishonor those who have been rightly put over us. And I think it is right for us to note that our witness to the world would be impaired if that were the case. We are to honor those who have authority over us in our various relationships. Well, as we conclude, it's worth noting, isn't it, in all these different situations, fathers and mothers, and then wider spheres of relationships that we have, why are we to honor them? So maybe a question you're wondering, is this all a bit arbitrary? Why honor my mother and father? Why do I have to honor these people? Well, the reason we're to so honor parents and the various authorities and relationships we have in this world is that God has set the world up this way. He has given parents the job of bringing up children, of raising children. He has given various other authorities various different responsibilities in our world. Now, that's not to say that these various authorities and relationships are perfect, but God has made them so in this fallen world. It pleases God, as the Heidelberg Catechism puts it, to govern us by their hand. It pleases God to govern us by their hand. Therefore, friends, let us be those who seek to please the Lord. That should be our aim, shouldn't it, as Christians? We should be aiming to please the Lord. Let us therefore honor our fathers and mothers. Let us honor those who have authority over us, that we might please him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to honor our fathers and our mothers, to honor those in society who have been put in positions of authority over us. That will sometimes be very difficult and very hard and will take great wisdom, but we pray that you would grant it to us, that you would help us be those who put into practice this command and the various other commands in Scripture, that we might honour our parents, that we might honour those around us, and that in doing so we might honour you, who have put these authorities in their places, and that we might commend your gospel to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.